Crypto 101 now in session.
Professor, I have a question.
Welcome, welcome, boys and girls, to Crypto 101. That's Crypto with a K. This is our seventh episode, I believe. So this would be like 107. And today we're going to tell you how to be a Doge millionaire. That's basically what this episode's all about. So I'm just kidding. If I knew how to do that, I wouldn't have to do this podcast. But no, it's a crazy time in cryptocurrency right now. I think everyone's getting in on something. It's pretty nuts out there. Have you boys been dabbling in anything, or are you guys just sticking to your long-term $21 million Bitcoin strategies?
I am holding. I don't do too much trading. I'm not a big risk taker right now.
I've been kind of dipping into some other ones, but once I have them, the FOMO comes out, and I'm like, I'm just going to sit on it.
So I'm pretty sure I'm going to change my name. I do not want to be the crypto noob anymore. I'd like to be the crypto day trader noob / fool.
There you go.
I have slowly been able to dwindle down my stuff. In fact, I should start tweeting out like what I buy, because the second I buy it, it goes down, and then the second I sell it, it goes up. So I think I'm on to something.
Yes. So tune in.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna start tweeting out like whatever I decide to buy or sell, and then you guys can do the opposite of that, and you'll probably come out on top. So I was watching a video that said if you're not making money in this cycle, you're doing something wrong. I was like, huh. I still have like my major holdings of like that are obviously making money, but like I've been playing around with a small chunk of change that gets smaller every day. So I keep telling myself the next day, I'm like, no, I'll learn from that. Like, okay, don't do that. Like, you know what? Just walk away. Like, don't look at your phone. And then two seconds later, I'm at it again. I'm like, oh, I got to get this one instead. So anyway, but what do you guys make of this crazy market going on right now? Professor, is this just normal? Is this just like as to be expected kind of thing? Like, I know we talked about Doge last time, but
Bitcoin, whenever Bitcoin's kind of been sitting kind of on cruise control. So whenever that kind of happens, there tends to be an altcoin season. You know what I mean? There's these little mini altcoin seasons that happen, and then they'll, people trade into Bitcoin, and then there'll be a Bitcoin run, and then so just on and off. You know, even when Bitcoin goes up, everything tends to go up too, but yeah, so I mean, right now it's looking like a big time. Like, it looks like a little altcoin season right now. A lot of stuff in the 30%, 10s, 11s. I mean, a lot of stuff. I mean, even Bitcoin's up a little bit right now, but
it's
bullish sentiment right now.
Yeah, a lot of people were hoping that Bitcoin was gonna crush that 60,000 and get back up there and try and hit a new all time high. But you're kind of right. It's been, I don't know if stagnant is the right word, but it's just kind of, lateral maybe. I don't know. Right,
consolidating. Word. That's that Bitcoin consolidation.
I hear that word a lot. Tell me what that means. Like, I hear people say that all the time. It's like, it goes like up and then it goes down. And like, consolidate. Who's consolidating? Like, what are they doing?
So, I mean, that just means like, because usually whenever the prices start going up, right, people start FOMOing in and like, oh man, I got to get in on that. And then, the price will drop and people will lose some money. And then they'll sell out. So usually when people start selling, that's when people are accumulating. The smart people are accumulating on those dips, and that price is like, it's kind of building up momentum. You know what I mean? Like, so this is like a long consolidation.
From my
building up momentum.
Yeah, from my experience, I clearly don't know what you mean, because I like to buy the highs and sell the dips. So I apologize to. I apologize to any of our loyal fans who have taken my advice and lost some money. It's not much, but but we do have some questions. So we got three questions that we're gonna ask today. The first one is,
I had a question about taxes. What exactly is detailed with taxes? Do you just get a statement that you gotta send in with your tax guy at the end through the app you're using. I'm sure it varies state to state, but what are roughly some of the rates, and what should I worry about, or what do I need to know as far as taxes when investing in crypto?
All right, so what do you think of that, Professor? Like the taxes, like what how does that work? I mean, it's obviously going to get taxed.
So
taxed, right? Like Biden's going to tax everything.
yeah. I mean, most people are used to. I mean, most people who have invested in past are used to having to pay capital gains on stuff, and it's the same with crypto, just like stocks. Except the only difference is that if you ever trade, you know, if you're trading stocks, you can tend to stay within wherever you're trading and trade back into something else, and you don't have to pay those taxes yet until you pull it into your bank account. With crypto, anytime you trade at all from one crypto to another, you have to. That's a taxable event.
So you're saying when I sell my, you know, 500 Doge to try and accumulate 505 Doge, like I'm going to get taxed on that?
No. Doge for Doge? No.
Yeah. Well, you know, you sell high, you buy low. So yeah,
I sell. Oh yeah. Yes. If you're selling to like a stable coin, if you go to like a stable coin from crypto, you know, selling on the high to a stable coin, then waiting for a dip and buying back in, that's a taxable event, unfortunately.
Got it. So, and does it all shake out in the end? Like I used to do some stocks previously, nothing like Tesla or anything, but like, I just remember at the end of the year, it was like, oh, you bought and sold this, you lost here, you gained there, you came up $600, like, cool, that's what you're going to get taxed on. Like, is that basically the same thing?
How it depends on what platforms you use. If you use centralized platforms, they're going to provide that information for you. But anything decentralized, you have to like make sure that you, I mean, it's decentralized, so it's up to you how you handle that. But most decentralized platforms don't provide tax information. But anything centralized will have forms for you at the end of the year to show what you owe in taxes.
So, okay, hold on. I'm going to catch you there. So, like, obviously, I use Binance. I'm a big fan of Binance. And it's a centralized thing. So it has, like, right at the end of the year, you'll be able to get all your tax forms and stuff. So, like, I know we all use Celsius. So Celsius is decentralized, right? So, like, you're going to have to do your – Celsius is
centralized. Yep, I got my tax form from them.
I got you. So you'll get tax form no matter what. So a totally decentralized place, maybe I think we're going to talk about that a little later. But so if you're into like a total decentralized platform or whatever, like you got to do your own bookkeeping on that?
Yeah. Yeah, like Uniswap. Like Uniswap, I mean, there's tons, like 1inch. Like, there's just a bunch of places that are tons of decentralized exchanges that people are – would, you know, they'd rather do their trading on that, you know, and
gotcha.
I mean, yeah, so the government's really stepping up on it. And, you know, if you've noticed last year, you know, they really came in with on the tax forms with everybody. I'm sure everybody saw, like, did you have any cryptocurrencies on their tax forms this last year for, you know, for 2020? So they're really starting to crack down on it. And I mean, part of this too has to do with another question you're going to be asking later.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, let's go right in. That's one of the next questions we have.
Do you think the U.S. government will ride with crypto and try and take advantage of it or squelch it?
So, I mean, that's a great question, right? Like, is the United States going to get behind this or are they going to try and squelch it? I feel like the answer is they're going to try and squelch it. And then I feel like the long-term answer is they won't, but I don't know. I think we've kind of talked about this a little bit, but go ahead.
So let's go over both scenarios. Let's go over the scenario. If the US decided to ban cryptocurrencies, like, you know, the price would drop, you know, everybody would get out in the US, of course, but in the rest of the world, people see value in it. So I could see the rest of the world adopting it and continuing to move forward with Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, and the US would be left out. You know what I mean? We wouldn't be a part of that, but the rest of the world would definitely keep using it and moving forward with it. And on the other hand, if the US decides to keep it, they're going to regulate it, which there's talk of. You know, there's been several US government officials that have said the U.S. is not going to ban Bitcoin. But, you know, like real regulation hasn't really come out, like real like hardcore regulation on it. And it's supposedly in the works. So, I mean, there's still that option there that they could ban it. But regularly, you know, and most people who are hardcore decentralizers like hate the idea of regulation, because then that means that you have to start showing your, you know, you got to start participating in centralized stuff, or else that'll be like illegal. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I mean, so that's why, with all your like bitcoins, so if you live in California, you know Bitcoin, you know California's going to tax you no matter what, right? Like, they're going to start regulating you. So I guess it'll be time for me to leave California when that starts happening. Kyle, yeah. What about you though? Like, how do you feel about that?
I just don't
like,
see
with,
it.
With the FOMO inside you, like if that starts happening, you think you just bail, or like how would that go down?
I personally don't ever see it happening. I mean, they'd be missing out on so many capital gains. I mean, the average Joe now is starting to make tons of money on their cryptocurrencies, and so they, you know, they're greedy and they want to make as much. We just talked about taxes, so they're going to want to make as much capital gains as possible versus just ixnaying it and getting it out and wanting people to get rid of it. That's my personal thought. But if for some reason they did, correct me if I'm wrong, Billy, I don't really know the answer on this, professor, but even if they were to say, okay, we aren't – now, if a government's going to be canceling something, that's basically saying you can't use your Bitcoin to buy a Tesla here in the United States. And so that's basically what they're saying. So we can't use this cryptocurrency in the United States. So therefore we can't be taxed on it, but if we can still own it because it's a digital asset. So, and they don't have control over that digital asset, but we can trade it anywhere
else
in the world.
Yeah. That's the problem that they would run into, and which is a strong point of why they probably won't, is that they can't, even if they say no, you can't do that, like they can't control it. They'll never be able to fully control it because people can trade it on the dark web, you know, on anything decentralized.
Yes,
they can't control that.
Russia,
yes, exactly. So and it's happening in countries like, you know, like Russia. They've like done stuff like that. And what country just recently was it? Not Korea, man. So an Asian country just recently banned it. No. Oh, yes. You're right. Turkey. But they're having that same issue where people are just, you know, if you notice after that government came out and said, you know, we're banning Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, they had the hugest, a huge influx of searches of what Bitcoin is and what cryptocurrencies are. So, yeah, like record high, like searches for that stuff. And so it's like, you know, that stuff is happening anyway.
Well, there's probably be like a DeFi of Switzerland or something, you know, or everyone puts it storing their crypto somewhere. But yeah, that's what I don't think the U.S. would ever get to that point. I mean, heck, there's a lot of things you wouldn't think that the U.S. would ever get to. But with cryptocurrency and the government being able to make capital gains on more assets that people have, I don't see them really doing that. But if they did, I wouldn't be bailing out.
You bring up a great point. Like, the government's greedy. Like, they're going to try and find a way to regulate it if they can, you know, whatever. Like, yeah, you can't use your Bitcoin to buy Tesla, and you can't use Dogecoin to get into a Dallas Mavericks game. Like, I get all that. But at the end of the day, they're going to want that money. And, like, when people start filing taxes next year, they're probably going to maybe think twice about some stuff. So the last question we have, and...
Well, people will just leave. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's true, too. So the last question we have, and this is actually one of my favorite questions, because I know you two are, like, long-time, like, holders. Like, Bitcoin's going to get to 21 million or, you know, all that jazz, whereas my, you know, me and my 0.00 stuff of Bitcoin and Ethereum and all that, like, I'm actually hoping for, so, I mean, it's no secret. My strategy is I'm going to try and make as much money as I can. You know, once the bull run ends, I'll just sell it all, hopefully take some profits, and I'll wait for everything to kind of crash back down, and whether it's 6 months, a year, 2.5 years, whatever it is, and then I'll hopefully have a bigger piggy bank to go back in on it. So, but let's go ahead and, I think I'm jumping the gun on the question. Let's go ahead and listen to the question real quick.
Yeah, hi, my name is Ben. Big fan of the show, avid listener. I have a question. I understand that they're saying that this bull market will probably be ending sometime towards the end of the year, anywhere from September, October in there. My question is what are the signs to look for to know when this market is reaching its peak so that I don't have to wait until things are plummeting before I finally sell to get profits and miss out on trying to get the highest gains as possible?
So Professor, how is our loyal and avid listener right there going to be able to capitalize the most? Like, what are the signs, I guess?
It's like asking which ticket's a lottery ticket, the winning lottery ticket, man. That's hard. The only thing that I can think of that is like a for sure, like is, you can, the his, the past is looking into the past and looking at the past cycles and looking how, I mean, they won't exactly, line up. What's the saying with that? The history, it may be similar, but it doesn't rhyme or something like that. I can't, like, I forget what that saying was. Yeah, never mind. Forget. But anyway, the point is
Rhyme in history.
that history repeats itself, may not repeat itself, but it sure it can rhyme. So it can be similar. Like it's not going to be the same as the last bull run, but it could be similar. So like the so right now they're the way that analysts have viewed it is it's kind of looking like a mix of 2013 and 2017 here. So like that time frame of when they both like made their pumps, reached the all-time highs and then started coming down for into the bear market was by the end of like in this cycle, by the end of this year, by
That
so the year we're in.
yeah, so that correlates with the having a Bitcoin, right? Like, that's pretty.
So like that's the only way that I can like ever t suggest anybody of knowing when things are gonna like when are things gonna go down is by looking at the past and making a judgment call off that, because this is every cycle has been different. I mean, there's been more and more investors and different style of investors every time, and this is like a huge, like this cycle has been just massive with the adoption. So like I have no idea how much it'll drop. It may not drop nearly as hard as these other cycles because there's so many people just holding Bitcoin for the long run. And but that's all I can really, that's the biggest indicator I could say is look at the past, and it may most likely be similar in that time frame as the past cycles.
So I mean that, yeah. Everything you and again, I'm a YouTube slave. I watch way too much YouTube, and I have way too much dumb information inside my head. But yeah, I guess that's been kind of like my motive. Like, oh, I gotta make what I can, and then. But it is interesting. I've always wondered this because we've talked about it multiple times. Like, you have all these institutions, and you have banks and all these places getting in on it that back in 2017, like they weren't even a player at all in it, right? And so you have this theory that either A, you might have to pay the shareholders, come January or February, or B, they're invested and their pockets are deep enough that they can just hold on to it. Like, it could drop all the way back down to, 17,000 or whatever absurd number it might drop to, and they already know that it's going to come back up and some. So, and their pockets are deep enough that, yeah, just like you said, they just might hold on, which would be really interesting. But I feel like for the most stuff, because I'm obviously obsessed with the stupid altcoins, because I can buy a lot more altcoins than I can Bitcoin. And it seems like everyone's like, those are the ones that are just gonna like take a dive off the cliff, and so.
Have we kind of broke down? I know by this point some people are kind of getting used to the lingo and everything, but have we broken down the
Well, yeah, I mean, we talked
altcoins, the
about Ethereum.
stablecoins?
Obviously, that's the biggest altcoin, and like how that all goes down. Stablecoins we haven't really gotten into, and we can kind of save that one for another day, because we're actually going to take like just a quick
I
little
mean,
break. And actually, when we get back, I want to actually talk about the DeFi, because I feel like Bitcoin, altcoins, like we've hit on all these like major topics, like where to buy, la 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 la. But I feel like we're missing one key ingredient to this cryptocurrency phenomenon, is the DeFi. And of all the things, in my personal opinion, I think that's the one that's going to stick around forever. So let's go ahead and take a quick break. All right. So now that so the word DeFi, I know we've thrown it around, and obviously that means, is it definance or decentralized? Like, I don't know, Professor. Why don't you just start going down this rabbit hole with us, explaining the importance of DeFi banking, right? Because I feel like that's a really big topic that we you've mentioned and but not really explained.
Yeah, so it's decentralized financing is what it is. It's just taking what it's done. It's like traditional financing, but they've took it and put it into blockchain technology. And doing that has taken out a lot of the middlemen that there are in traditional financing and eliminated them. You know, the need for a bank, you know. And so what in doing so and adding technology and algorithms and coding within the blockchain, it has allowed people to make higher percentages in their savings accounts in decentralized or centralized financing, so that their gains in their accounts are gaining higher yields than traditional banking provides.
And Kyle, you're obviously a big advocate of Celsius. Why don't you go ahead and give us a little rundown of Celsius, what that does?
Yeah, so for me, that's where I hold all my cryptocurrency, because like Billy said, I can have a better interest rate in what I keep in. It's called a wallet, digital wallet. And so basically I can make an interest rate, APR of each cryptocurrency is a little bit different. And so, like for instance, you can, I don't have the rates pulled up, but you can earn a certain amount of interest rate for Bitcoin, for if you hold Ethereum,
or
if you
hold. Actually, I can probably pull it up on my phone right now. I think, is it Bitcoin, like 5% or 4%?
I'll have you pull it up.
Professor? Oh, there you go. Yeah, that will pop mine up right now, too.
Oh, no. I'm not, I don't, whoever has it, you can let them know. But yeah, it's basically where I keep my, I want to make interest on, yeah. So, I mean, it's awesome. I mean, whatever you hold of Bitcoin, you can make an APR of that 6%. And so it's pretty awesome. I mean, and they pay you in whatever that cryptocurrency is. So they'll pay you in that APR with Bitcoin. So so you're slowly getting more and more Bitcoin or Ethereum, whatever cryptocurrency you have. If you hold it in a digital wallet,
which I think is something huge too. And again, I think most of our listeners, again, I'm a huge fan of Binance, but I use Binance mostly just to, you know, throw away money in day trading. But but most of my Cardano and my Bitcoin and my Ethereum, they're all in places that are earning interest, like you're talking about. So I think I put the link, but we'll put the link down there for the Celsius wallet. Because if you really do have a chunk of change, so if you're just sitting there throwing like $25 down every week or $100 like I am or whatever, then yeah, Binance or Coinbase or PayPal, whatever, is probably gonna be fine for your needs. But if you have a serious chunk of money, like you're, you know, maybe you could buy a whole Ethereum or a chunk of Bitcoin, like you definitely should check out this, because it's not even just interest, it's compounded interest. I mean, it keeps coming.
Yeah, and one thing I'll say, I know I mentioned it right before the break, but the difference between an altcoin and a stable coin, because you can hold a stable coin and make a ton of interest on a stable coin. So an altcoin is basically an alternative cryptocurrency outside of Bitcoin. So any other coin you hear about, that's going to be an altcoin. A stable coin is going to actually be a cryptocurrency that is pegged to like an actual US dollar. So you don't really see an influx of the different change in percent for that. So like for instance, if you had a stable coin, and Billy knows a lot more of this, but from what I've learned and understand is that with the stable coin, you can actually, it's pegged to a dollar. So you're taking your money. If you have something in your savings account, you're like, hey, I don't want to make 0.05% on my savings. I'd rather make, some of the bigger, highest interest rates you've seen, Billy, on a stable coin?
Stable coins you're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Which I thought 10%. They actually used to be 15%.
Yeah. I mean, these companies like Celsius who want I see it as they want you to hold the stable coin in their wallet. So that way they have, you know, an asset, you know, that is actual of physical, pegged to a physical dollar. So, but yeah, that's why
Okay,
they're
so
willing to pay you
Professor,
higher
riddle me
interest rate.
this. Obviously, you've been with Celsius forever. Like, you're their flagship advocate. Maybe one day they can sponsor our podcast. So, like, let's just say, like, say my dad's sitting on like 40 grand, and he's like, "Bitcoin's a joke. You know, your whole podcast is a joke. You're a disappointment. You know, whatever he says. I don't know." What if you could put like, 40 grand into Celsius and get 10%, which is insane, right? He couldn't get that anywhere. Like, not even his 401k is probably paying him that. How? Like, easy is it to access it? Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, say my dad or anyone listening, right? Say they decided to put, 40 grand into Celsius to hold on to a stable coin. Like, is it easy to just like access it, or is it a little tricky, or?
No, it's extremely extremely easy. You can access it mobily on your phone, and they also just came out with a desktop version. So whichever you'd
Oh.
prefer to look at. And the thing with Celsius too is, a lot of exchanges, they charge you fees to move your crypto in and out, but Celsius covers all your fees of if you're gonna transfer money out, they cover your fee. So no, it's very easy to access it. Very easy.
So, I mean, it is. It's like, I mean, you're buying crypto, but it's just a high
Yeah.
yield savings account, right?
Yeah, it's they so their slogan is unbank yourself, because the
Unbank
banks
yourself.
are just yeah because they're just screwing you over. The banks are just screwing you over in so many ways with your fees and permission to move money, and and it's all, so they take your money and they lend it out, right? And that's what Celsius is. They're a lending platform. The difference is that when the banks lend, when you have your money in their savings account, they take your money and they go and lend it out, and they can actually lend it out and overextend past the assets that they hold in their bank legally. Banks can do that. They can, like, I think they can lend up to like 2x of what assets, like, so if I have $20,000 in my savings account, they can go and lend out $40,000 against my 20,000 legally in centralized banking. And
That's so
and
awesome.
where is all that interest going? Like, these are
How
like
do
huge loans. Yeah, it's not going to us. It's going to all the shareholders of the bank. It's going to the CEO. It's going to all the people up above, the people who are actually have their money in these banks. And so the difference between Celsius and these banks is that Celsius gives you 80% of the interest that is paid on these loans. So that's why our interest rates are so high. It's actually like a platform for the people. You know what I mean? Banks
Yeah.
aren't looking out for your best interest. I mean, you obviously need banks. They give you loans and all this stuff, but they're never really looking out for your best interests. They're always getting you. And the interest rates on the there you can take loans out on Celsius, like 1% interest. Like 1% at like what is that, 33% LTV, which is like, if you give them one Bitcoin, you can get a loan for 33% of that one Bitcoin at 1% interest. So, and then they
Interesting.
have a, yeah, and they have higher ones, which are a little higher interest rate, but like 1%, like that's insane. It's like, what bank's gonna do that for you? Like, there is no bank that's gonna do that for you.
And they have a ton of assets. Like every week, Celsius, their CEO comes out on a live YouTube channel, and he talks about kind of where they're at in terms of their assets and their users. And they're very, straightforward on where they're at as a company. And it's, I mean, you can even share every dollar you have in cryptocurrency with them. So yeah, it's something to look into if you're looking to, like, if you don't want to just hold keep your money and have it just fluctuate with the market, but you want to make some interest rate on it. They call it rewards, because they're rewarding you a certain percent of whatever cryptocurrency you hold in that wallet.
Another one is Nexo. Nexo has their, like,
Nexo.
they kind of copied Celsius and they're on the, creating utility for their token and stuff. But so yeah, there's competitors out there. There's other things happening too. So I mean, there's not one bank in the world, right? So there's going to be
No,
more than
that's
one
yeah.
decentralized place to
Yeah,
earn.
they definitely make. And
But
correct me if I'm
Celsius has
wrong.
been the favorite for sure.
But correct me if I'm wrong. Like, so Celsius is huge in Europe, right? Like, I mean, it's they. From what I know, they basically like follow all the, because they're centralized. They follow all like the regulations, right? Of like a regular bank, right? Am I making this up or?
Yes, yeah, they get filed with the SEC and they're with the Fed, like they're all up to date, and they have audits to ensure that they have collateral for, they're actually holding the assets that they say they do. And that's one thing that's great about Celsius is they're very transparent. You can go onto the blockchain or even go onto their website and see exactly where all what they're doing with all their tokens and what all their holdings, and you know how much money they hold and how much equity they have and assets that they're holding under management. It's really cool.
Yeah, and I think like I said kind of before the break, like I of all the stuff that cryptocurrency is like shown and done, and there's so much other cool stuff. Like I was actually just reading an article about how like blockchain technology is really going to change like the pharmaceutical and just the medical industry, because you basically can encrypt your medical data, you know, and like so it's going to be just it'll HIPAA is going to just love it, and HIPAA will eventually embrace it. You know, so even if United States isn't embracing Bitcoin, they will embrace the blockchain technology, which obviously some of these other platforms are obviously running and using it. So eventually the United States is going to be enthralled with cryptocurrency one way or the other. But I think this is one of the coolest things. And like, I mean, yeah, Bitcoin could smash and die, and you know, I don't know. Like, there's so many crazy things that could happen. But I have a hard time believing that Celsius or some of these other DeFi banks are just going to disappear. Like, how would that disappear? I just think not enough people know about it. And like, once you do know about it, like, how's it going to disappear? Like, I really think
No.
that's the future.
No, once you hear it, you're just like, oh my gosh, like, what am I doing? Like, that makes total sense. It's like, once you hear it and learn a little bit about it, the basics of it, you're like, oh wow, yeah, banks aren't really looking out for my best interest, are they? Like, these like blockchain guys, they're like, oh, like, where's this been? Like, holy
Right.
cow.
Well, and that's the thing. You could be like the super critic of
Speaking
Bitcoin. You could
of.
just be like, you guys are morons. Like, you know, you and your Bitcoin and your Dogecoin and your Wabi and Safeway, you're all just gonna go die somewhere. But like the banking, like I don't understand how you could argue that. Like
The
I couldn't understand how you could argue against that.
I think one thing, the utility aspect of Celsius, they're always coming up with different ways of making it easier for transactions and stuff like that. But another thing that they're coming out with and is an actual
Oh
like
yeah.
debit card, to make it easier access for people to actually use their cryptocurrency in the modern, in the current marketplace. And so it's, I mean, if you can unbank yourself like they say and be on a DeFi banking system where and you're making so much more interest rate and have a place to keep all your cryptocurrency and you can utilize it in the familiar way that we're currently using it, then
Yeah,
Yeah,
Alex
this is like
Mashinsky's
no-brainer.
mention, like his mission is to help people become financially free. Like Alex Mashinsky is an awesome dude. I mean, if you look at any of these platforms, you got to look at their team members and see what kind of people they are. Like Alex is like all about helping people become get financial freedom. So if you can, I mean, if you have $100,000 and you have it in there, you have 10, like you're making 10,000 a year, 10%, like just in dollars if you have stable coins. I
That's
mean, that's
insane.
$10,000 you can pay with your bills and stuff. So like he's like wanting people to everything he does, he's trying not to have people like blow their money like credit cards do. Like credit cards are the enemy of everything. Because they just rape you on their interest rates, and people are in all this credit card debt. So he's like, hey, if you have credit card debt, come to Celsius and take a loan out from us at a way lower rate. So like the guy is cool. The whole purpose of Celsius is to help people get become financially free and stable. So it's awesome. And banks are gonna kneel, like they are gonna fall to this. Like they have to do this. They have to start giving people better rates or else they are gonna turn and be blockbustered, right? They're gonna be gone if these centralized banks don't. And they're starting to change. They are starting to offer crypto, stuff, but they have to start giving higher interest rates or else they're gonna be dominated by Celsius, by Nexo, BlockFi. Like they are, like people are catching on and they have to change.
I think Blockbuster is a great point because, like you said, who needs a brick and mortar? Who needs when you can do everything digitally? I mean, that's a great example. I mean, look at it went from Blockbuster to Redbox to Netflix. I mean, they're going to have to start having lower interest rates and accepting more. Here, you can actually now keep your cryptocurrency at Wells Fargo, and we'll give you a good interest rate. So I like Billy said, like the professor said, we'll make it easy for everyone. But the I really see that. I mean, who I can't remember what bank I saw recently on the news. It wasn't Bank
Citibank?
of America. Ah, I can't remember, but they
Don't know.
It might have been. I don't know. I can't remember, but I'll probably bring it up next time. But anyway, it was it was talking more about keeping your cryptocurrency there. So, yeah, it's they're going to be wiped out if they don't make
Well,
a
on that
shift.
note, there, Mr. FOMO, you did easily the least amount of talking, so you are going to go ahead and sign us off. We've gone over the 30 minutes. I think we're pushing 40 minutes once I add everything in. But I mean, seriously, super awesome discussion, great things going on. But Kyle, sign us off.
All right, ladies and gents, do what you can to get into some crypto and be a little FOMO. It's okay.
Little
Nice.
FOMO.
Thank you for listening, and please remember that these gentlemen are not financial advisors.